This morning, I started thinking about being a good student and what the gospel actually meant. Because any good student knows that there's a big difference between learning something and then applying what you learn in real life. Today in the Collect, the writer speaks of God teaching us to keep the commandments, and he says, loving God and loving each other. That's how we're going to keep the commandments. But again, there's a really big difference between learning what we should do and actually doing it. I think there's a lot of truth in that. For the past several months, I think we've had our worlds completely turned sideways. And I've kind of felt like I've been in a state of hurry up and wait for months. There have been promises of vaccines and opening up the country, and then the COVID rates start climbing. There have been some false starts and some uncomfortable kind of regathering plans, all pinned against this backdrop of it's a hoax and we need to live with it, and I'm tired of being restricted banter that's been on social media. It's just really exhausting. But it's Independence Day weekend, and this is a weekend when we celebrate our freedom. The problem, though, I think, in living in a society where we can choose pretty much what it is that we want to do, is that we can become pretty selfish and uncooperative when we're asked to put other people first and when we're asked to work as a team. You know, the joys of being human. We come by this honestly, however. We really do. Being fickle by nature, sometimes we kind of let what we're saying slip past our filters of respect and restraint that we usually exercise towards each other. For the most part, we know what we're supposed to say and we know what we're supposed to do. We know what we've been taught. But it's difficult to overcome the influence of our culture and our human nature. I take the gospel for example, and it was interesting because Jesus describes a generation that cannot recognize the truth that's right in front of them. And I went, just like today. Jesus said to the crowd, "To what will I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another?" Calling to one another over Facebook, maybe. Jesus goes on to give examples of when John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking, in other words, staying within the realm of social norms. And they said he was possessed by a demon. And then Jesus comes and he's eating and he's drinking with sinners and tax collectors, and they judge him to be a glutton and a drunkard. No one likes to be stereotyped. I mean, do you like to be stereotyped? I don't. But with Jesus and John, they were no exceptions. They didn't like the stereotypes either. And Jesus seems almost anguished because he performed miracles. He healed the people. He taught them. He heard them. He saw them. And they rejected him. The gospel this morning, I think, is a warning. It's a warning that God makes it very clear what it is we're supposed to do, but we still can't seem to understand and heed God's word. One of the commentaries said about Jesus' reference in the gospel to wisdom is that wisdom grants us the ability to understand beyond our sensory perceptions. If wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, then what are the deeds? Wisdom provides order to chaos. She grants us humility and protects and guards us. Wisdom is a life-giving gift that comes with the Lord's favor. And the result of wisdom, those are evident. So, little history within the Jewish community, the one where Jesus was born and raised, rabbis had different ways of interpreting the sacred scriptures. And each rabbi was a keeper of a particular tradition. It was known as a yoke. So, to follow a rabbi meant that you were taking on the yoke of that tradition. And that included everything from understandings about God to customs of daily life and how to treat each other. So those who followed a rabbi became yoked to that rabbi to learn how to be like him. Now, the rabbi did want the disciples to follow his views and his beliefs and his practices so that those things would be carried into the future. So to take on the yoke of Jesus isn't just for the best of the best. Jesus invited everyone to take on his yoke. It's an invitation to take on the views and the beliefs and the practices of Jesus. And those practices, above all, are loving one another. So to take up that yoke, however, I think we first need to kind of let go of what's weighing us down. I had to ask the question to myself, what do I need to do to transfigure myself, to change into the kind of person who desires to do in the world what Jesus is calling me to do? How can I let go of what I'm hanging on to and be yoked to him? People simply can't seem to just look for the good in each other and to love them for who they are. Our human nature tends towards the judgmental when it comes to other people. We want to know how we measure up to other people. So in many ways, it's natural for us to want to prop ourselves up by tearing down other people. And it's exactly the opposite of the commandments that our loving God has taught us. We know what we're supposed to do in our heads, but until we commit to embodying that intention, our hearts are not going to be in it. Aristotle, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, said, educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. We need to lay those burdens down and take up the yoke of Jesus. And this is where Paul's words really rang true to me. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Lucky for us, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and of great kindness. And the Lord is loving to everyone. I'm not sure how you feel, but I can tell you that I really need a God to be loving and patient and forgiving. I've been overwhelmed at times in the last few months, and I can even understand how people are having trouble trying to sort out the truth. There's so much to distract us. We're like children playing with toys instead of paying attention to what's happening around us. When I'm not sure how to even start, you know, to be positive and productive, I'm immediately distracted by what I see other people doing, okay? So the other day, I had this great idea. I thought to myself, I know, Sylvia really loves sewing, so I bet you she'd like to spend some time with her sewing machine. So I set it up for her as a surprise. Well, that sewing machine did get some use. That's exactly right, it did. Mm-hmm. I fixed two pair of pants pockets and a hem before I put it away. She never touched it. My judgment of what would be good for Sylvia was not in her plan. What I saw as a good idea for someone else was not. And I think that's where that phrase comes from, someone should do something. You know, that had to be born out of that, because we see something that needs to be done and we assign it to somebody else, even if we can do it ourselves, because it's so much easier to decide what other people should be doing. And in times like these, I really need to exercise the most respect and restraint that I have. And I need to stay in my own lane and focus on the work I have been given to do. I need to calm down, take small deliberate steps in the right direction, and be grateful that I am safe and loved and cared for. And I should not judge others. I need to remember this and not get pulled in by the temptation to look for things for other people to do. Because it's always easier to be the boss of somebody else than yourself. It's easier to try and control somebody else and get them to do what you'd rather not do, or to fix them because you don't want to look at the plank that's in your own eye. I need to practice kindness and hospitality, and I need to love God, and I need to love everybody. But most of all, I need to love myself. I need to know, and I hope that you know, that you are enough just as you are. I am enough just as I am. And we can do anything with God's help, even survive a pandemic. Yesterday, Independence Day, we thought we'd give a little independence to some people who are the most vulnerable in our society. And the people of Holy Cross enabled others to give without judgment and to show love and hospitality to strangers that we will never meet. I hope that if Jesus asks by what measure this generation of people of God shall be compared, that the opportunities that we've been given in this pandemic to reflect and correct, you know, will allow Jesus to say that we've practiced what we've been taught. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus said, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Right now, we all need rest from hurrying up and waiting and from looking for things that we want other people to be doing, and rest so that we might renew our courage our courage to take on the work we've been given to do, to love God and to love each other. And once we experience and accept that gift of love, then we can make a commitment to try and see and know and love people as best as we can. I was talking to my friend Lori the other day, and she said, we all need to hear these words. We all need to hear, I see you, I know you, and I love you. And I'm going to try and approach every relationship with that intent. I think she was completely onto something. I think that she knew what God was calling her to do, and I think it's what God is calling all of us to do, to see people, to hear them, and to love them. I hope I can follow that path, because I think there is some truth and a little bit of wisdom in that. Amen.